You pray with me. Oh Lord God, Heavenly Father, you are the source of all light and the source of all life. We pray, oh Lord, where there is so much death and decay, where people are marginalized, that you may use us to be the salt of the earth, the light of this world, that people may glorify you because of the good, the love that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Today our text comes from us from Matthew chapter 5, and Matthew 5 through 7 are sometimes called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is up on a mountain and he's preaching and teaching to the people what his kingdom looks like. What if God could remake this world, how would people, as God designed it, really live? And, you know, Jesus was talking to a people in first century Israel. Israel was occupied by the Roman Empire. And, you know, Jesus is here talking about, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. And Jesus right here, he's talking to kind of the marginalized people of the society. In that Roman world, strength meant might. Women and children and the elderly and the sick, they had no voice. So often, the weak were just stomped out. And so Jesus is challenging his disciples, his followers, that if you want to change the world, I want to give you two word pictures. Two word pictures that even though you may have no voice, even though it's hard for you to impact the world, I want to use your lives to have a huge impact on this world. And we kind of know the rest of the story, right? Jesus shared these images. Jesus lived. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And the good news of Jesus Christ spread throughout that Roman world that 300 years later, Christianity was the official religion of the government of that time. And so what happened? How did this amazing transformation occur in the lives of the Jesus followers and that changed the world? First of all, before he said, I'm the light of the world, he said, you are the salt of the earth, all right? So just imagine, if you will, that says, you are the salt of the earth, okay? You guys got that with me? You are what? The salt of the earth. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, when you and I think about salt, what do we typically use salt for in our world today? Food, to season it, right? To make it have a little bit extra flavor. Well, in Jesus' day, what was the purpose of salt? Really, it was preservation. Salt was used to pull moisture away from food. Without moisture, that there can't be mold and decay. And so it was very important for preserving their food. And so, you know, we think about salt, well, Jesus means season the world, all right? Really, Jesus is talking about it in their kind of way of thinking, more of this preservation, this idea of taking what without salt is going to decay. Without salt is going to be eaten up by mold. Without salt is going to be worthless and need to be thrown away. And so Jesus says, be the salt of the what? The earth. In the world that we live, is there decay? Moral decay? Spiritual decay? Life decay? You know, you think of heroin addictions, people throwing away their lives. You think of people who are getting caught in gambling, caught in pornography, caught in these vices that don't build up, but they eat away. They leave nothing but decay. And so Jesus is saying, live your lives in such a way that you value what nobody else will value, because God says all of life deserves mercy. Every human being, God says, I love. Every human being has value. No matter what they've done, no matter what they've come from, no matter what they live, God says, they matter to me. And so by being the salt of the earth, we take a stand for those who have no voice. We take a stand for those who are pushed to the outside. And as we value them as God values them, it changes them. It changes the world. I don't know about you, but this past week, I can't have been affected by the closing of our borders against, you know, those seven countries, the ban or the stopping of all visas into our land. And you think about the plight of the immigrants. Why do they want to leave where they're at? Because there's war. There's decay. And there's a part of me that says, is there a better chance for them to hear about Jesus here or in the lands where they're at? So I want them to hear about Jesus, all right? And so, I'm wrestling with, what does that mean as a person, as a church? Where do we stand? How do we speak out for those who have no voice? But I think that's what being salt is. It's about mercy in action, seeing a need and saying, how can I help? How can I make a difference? How can I stop the decay of this world? And then after Jesus said, be the salt of the earth, now where Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And what is Jesus talking about here? Last Friday night, I was driving home with my son Isaac from a basketball game up in kind of northeast of Cleveland. As we were coming back 90 and then south on 271, it was about 9:30 at night. Isaac looked at the clouds, and they were kind of colorful, and said, wow, that's a really pretty sunset, Dad. I said, it's not a sunset. It's 9:30 at night. And I said, well, the sunset, what do you think that light's from? Oh, Cleveland, all right? And so he realized that the light from the city was reflecting off the clouds. You can't hide a city. And so when Jesus says, let your light shine, he wants us to shine in a way that people see it and people notice. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, Jesus really meant when he said, let your light shine before others, that they may see your really good church attendance and say, dang, he's a good Christian. Do you think that's what Jesus meant? Is that just Jesus says, oh, they're really nice. They go to church every Sunday. That's super, all right? Now, what does Jesus say? He says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see what? Your good works. So they see your good works, and what's going to happen? Give glory to your Father in heaven. At the heart of being light, it's about letting other people see in us a radical giving. You know, someone who looked at you and said, wow, they're so generous. Why? Or, you know, there's that family that they take in the kids, and even though they're so busy, they just find other kids that they can help. I don't get it, right? Or they're, you know, somebody who is sick, and you bring them a meal, and then you bring them another meal, and you bring them another meal, and he's just like, wow, they've gone over the top in their kindness and their love and their generosity. And people say, well, why are you doing that? I think Jesus says, let your light shine. Let your life be filled with extraordinary good love, mercy, sacrifice, so that people see what you're doing and wonder why. Part of letting your light shine is helping people connect the dots from your life to your faith, to your Father. Part of living as the light of the world is helping people see that I've got a Savior who loves me. And I have a Savior who loves you no matter where you've come from, no matter what you've done. Jesus loves you so much that he was lifted up. Not like a city on a hill, but Jesus was lifted up on a cross. And there on the cross, Jesus took our sin and our shame and our guilt and our failures and our shortcomings and our brokenness and our decay. And Jesus says, it's paid for. That whoever believes in me, you're restored. You're made like new. You're a new creation. And so we want to live in that way that the light of Christ who dwells in us shines in other as we live in mercy, with sacrifice, with love, and give glory to our Father in heaven. And so what I want you to remember today, what's the job of salt? Salt always preserves, all right? And light always shows the way. Light always shows the way to the Father. It points back to God. It's not about us. We don't do things to get the glory, but that people may know that there is a God who loves, who cares through us. So here's my homework for you. I want you to really say, where is God prompting you to preserve? Is there someone in your life that you just, you know they're on the path to destruction, all right? They're making some poor choices. There's maybe some decay in there, and maybe God wants you to, in a loving way, walk alongside of them and help them make better choices, or just know that there's somebody who is there for them. Maybe that there's a way for you to just show mercy to someone who nobody else is going to notice. Who is God prompting you to preserve, to value, to love, to come aside? Or maybe God is calling you to live in such a way that by your generosity, by your service, by your sacrifice, somebody's going to wonder, why are they doing that? And maybe God can give you a chance to help you connect the dots between what you're doing and your Heavenly Father, that by our lives we may be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that each one of us may impact the world right where God has planted us. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, make us salt. Make us light. Let not just the words of our mouth testify of your goodness, but may the actions of our lives speak your love into the lives of others. Open our eyes of our heart to see the needs of the people around us, that as Jesus looked at this world, he had compassion. Lord, fill us with a heart of compassion that you may use us to preserve, to value, to show mercy, but that you may also, through our acts of love, Lord, help other people see that there's a God who loves them. Lord, help you give us opportunities to connect the dots of why we live the way we live back to you, O Lord, because you loved us first. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,